Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace that allows us to flourish in this life, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trials. Lord, we can shine for you. And so we ask, God, that you would renew our light for you. God, that you would cause us to sense your presence even now. And Lord, that you would help us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Do you realize that this scripture was one of the last ones written in the Old Testament? These people, the Jews, God's chosen people, the apple of God's eyes, had years before become a contentious lot. Many of the kings were more interested in power and position than they were about God. So God allowed them to have their own way, to go their own way, and as a result, other powerful kingdoms came into Israel, and God did not protect them. And eventually, both the northern and the southern kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, were sacked. And as was the custom for conquering kings, they would transport those people and move them away into other parts of their kingdom. Their temple, the temple of God, was destroyed. The temple of the one true and only living God did not remain standing. God had foretold that they would be in exile for 70 years. And from the fall of the northern kingdom to the return of a remnant of Jews to Jerusalem, 70 years came and went. Now, there were a number of people that God used to get the Jews back to Jerusalem, to get the temple back in order. Maybe you remember names like Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Jerusalem, who helped and saw that the temple was rebuilt. Or maybe you remember someone by the name of Nehemiah, who came back and helped them rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, providing a place of safety. And then, there was Ezra, the priest, who helped to rebuild, to redevelop, to reinvigorate the people's worship of God. But it had been more than a generation, almost two generations, since the temple priests had actively served God. Though there was still the desire to worship God, it was not as it once was. Political and social stability had not been completely restored to the area. There wasn't much time left for things like prayer, sacrifice, and worship. God says to the people through the prophet Malachi, from which our words come today, that they show contempt toward him. You offer me defiled food on my altar, God says, blind, injured, lame, or diseased animals, instead of pure animals. If you laid those at the governor's table, what would the governor say? You divorce the wives of your youth and marry women who chase after foreign gods. You're not giving sufficient tithes and offerings for the support of the temple to run. The priests were not honoring God's name, violating the law, and teaching things that were causing others to stumble. Frankly, it seemed like God was not a priority any longer in these people's lives. And several times, God tells them that they have broken faith with him. The once straight path to God is a broken and twisted road. God tells them that they have wearied him with their words. How? Read with me. By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? I look at God's people even today. How they too are at times so busy that there is no time for prayer. No time for worship. I'd rather spend time relaxing and getting extra sleep. Too tired to worship, whether it's daily private worship or gathering together as a group of believers to worship God. too busy to talk, too busy to listen to God, to hear God's still small voice in our lives whispering words like, I love you. Be careful. I forgive you. You have always been my cherished child. Unwilling to sacrifice our time and our abilities and our gifts for the kingdom work that need to be done so that we and others might find true life. The preachers and teachers, God goes on to say, of the church are not honoring God's name, violating the principles that they were taught by God and whose teachings lead others astray and cause them to stumble. And very easily we cry out to God like God's people did so long ago, tired and weary. Why does it seem that evil people are okay with you, God? Where is your justice? God, why can't you make our paths more straight? And frankly, why can't you make everyone's path straight? God, it seems like the nations and people are going from bad to worse. Nations are warring with other nations. People within nations are warring amongst themselves, causing hundreds of thousands to flee their own homeland in search of a place to live. People who claim to be spiritual are seeking to destroy others in the name of their God, causing anxiety, harm, and grief to innocent men, women, and children. God, why do you let evil people get away with these things? Where is your justice? Can't you make their paths straight too? Don't you want a straight path to God? And God's response to Israel, as it is to us today, is this. Read it with me. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. You see, God tells his people in the midst of their lethargy and questioning that the messenger will be sent to them. One who will prepare the way, make straight the path. And did you catch this? He'll do it before me, God says. God himself will come to be with them. The Lord that they are seeking will come to his temple. I wonder what kind of excitement that might have caused them to experience with this promise that God would come to be with them. The Lord they are seeking to be at his temple. I wonder if their worship became more passionate. Oh, come, Lord, come soon. Their prayers, I wondered if they became more earnest. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. At his temple. His presence. I wonder if the sluggishness in their spiritual lives became more alert, knowing that God is going to come. Their offerings became more pure. Their worship became more passionate. Their gifts of money more regular. Their teaching aligning with God's word. Back in the 80s, I worked downtown at the Renaissance Center back when the Detroit Pistons won one of their championships. Hart Plaza near the Renaissance Center was where the parade was going to end, and they were going to celebrate the championship. And so when I heard they were coming, I have to say that I was a little bit excited. In fact, I was delighted to take a later lunch that day. And as time approached, I could sense my own excitement at being in their presence, celebrating life with them. A great team that I'd watched throughout the season, just to be there. Do you have that sense in your own life with the coming of God? Not just this Christmas season, but for the second coming of Christ, who will completely reestablish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Is there an excitement that builds in you? Do you anticipate the opportunity to celebrate, to be in God's presence, to simply be with God and nothing else would matter? I wonder, how long would you be willing to wait? A couple hours, a couple days, a couple months, maybe even a year? And what if it was a year? Would you be able to still hold on to that excitement? Would you still be able to anticipate the coming? We do it for things all the time. Like a wedding, often an engagement. Often after the engagement, there's a period of time, usually even up to a year or so, before the celebration begins. But the anticipation, the excitement, it builds. We find a child is on the way. We'll be a parent or an aunt or an uncle or maybe even a grandparent. And it's a 9-month wait. And yet, there we are, holding our breath. The anticipation remains and it holds up until the moment of the arrival of this special little package. But what if the arrival date of this special person was unknown? How long could you hold on to your anticipation? How long would you hold on to your anticipation? What if the days slipped into years? Would you remain faithful to wait? Well, the messenger of the Messiah finally did come to Jerusalem, to the temple, just as God had promised. But it was 400 years later. The messenger? Well, that was John the Baptist. A promised child to a couple too old to bear children, the priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And what did the messenger do? What did the messenger say? What would the messenger point to? What would you do? What would you say? What would you point to if God said you are the messenger? I tell you what I would do, at least in my mind. I would do whatever God wanted me to do. Or at least that would be my honest attempt. Luke records what John did do, though. Read it with me. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Essentially, he told the people to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near or at hand. Repent, to turn away from our disobedience to God, what we oftentimes call sin, so that they could be forgiven of their disobedience to God. To be forgiven by God means or allows us to be in God's presence. It straightens our crooked paths. It is us making choices in our sacrifice, our worship, and our offerings of time, talents, and gifts, so that there is as little distance between God as possible. It is taking the direct path to God in our hearts and in our minds. Growing up in the comic section of the paper on Sundays, and usually throughout the week, there was a series called The Family Circus. Do you remember it, by Bill Keane? The oldest son, Billy, would often be asked to do something. And then he'd get distracted. Well, let me show you. I don't know if you can see this real well. Down at the bottom left corner is Mom in a circle with Billy. Quick, Billy, run these out to the mailbox. They need to be sent today. Billy, of course, gets distracted. You can see his path all the way throughout the house. And instead of going straight to the mailbox, he ends up getting distracted here and there. Outside, he gets to the mailbox over on the right, and there's a puff of exhaust showing that the mail carrier has just left. Billy yells, "Too late, Mom! We just missed him!" John was called to, and in fact, we are all called, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. We need to order our lives such that we are making straight paths in our lives for the Lord to guide us, for the Lord to direct us, that our light might shine brightly for God, that our light might shine only for God, that others might know the love, the grace, the mercy for God and with God through Jesus Christ, this baby's birth that we're going to celebrate. So like God's people during the days of Malachi, we're told that the Messiah again is coming. And even though they didn't see him in their lifetime, the Messiah did come, did teach, did love, and did provide a way to come to God. And then he told us that he'd be back again. So again, God's people are waiting for the Messiah to come. Whether it's tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, or not in our lifetime, the Messiah will come again. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Help us to patiently wait for you as we prepare straight paths. Let us not get caught being distracted by the world, such that when the Messiah does return, we don't turn and say, "Too late! We just missed him." One of the most telling times of the season is the busyness that will sometimes bleed over into chaotic lives. Our focus is taken off the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And not only do we miss him, but those around us who needed us to help straighten their paths, they miss him too. It's not so much, "Come, Lord, come," so much as it is, "Help me, Lord, prepare a straight path for you. Help me share the word that the Lord is coming again." Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to renew our efforts to offer you our whole being, to sing, "O come, Emmanuel," with passion, with anticipation, knowing that your promises are true. And God, don't let the festivities of the world dim this light that burns in our heart for you. Cause our flame, Lord, to burn brightly. Cause our paths, Lord, to be straight and true as we wait for you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come, O come, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.